Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
Throws to the right. He's got Kelce inside the 25 to the 20. Near side to the 10. The 5 into the end zone. Touchdown, Chiefs. 32 yards. He was hit three or four times before he rumbled into the end zone. Eckler in the backfield. Herbert drops back to pass. Throws toward the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Palmer. He threw it to the left and Palmer was wide open. It's a 6-yard touchdown pass and the Chargers take the lead with 1:46 to play. Third and four, low snap handled by Mahomes. Throws to the right. He's got Kelce inside the 25 to the 20. Near side to the 10. The 5 into the end zone. Touchdown, Chiefs. 32 yards. He was hit three or four times before he rumbled into the end zone.
This is what we practice, man. This is what we practice day in, day out. Throughout the offseason, you know, Coach Eric Bieniemy stresses a lot about situational football. And 2 minutes to win the game, down four, that's a situation that we harp on a lot. And it's just a whole lot of fun. And the emotion to be able to persevere through that, man, it's like a ticking time bomb, man. Once you get in the end zone, man, you just explode.
Do that. You just fire that ball, right?
Yeah, sorry if I hit somebody. I don't have a whole lot of accuracy with this thing. That's why I moved the tight end. Sorry about that.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's a victory Monday, November 21st, 2022. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan with Marco Marquez. The very hardworking Marco Marquez. The very young and polite Marco Marquez, who is ready to celebrate this victory Monday with you, Kansas City, after the Chiefs beat the L.A. Chargers again in dramatic fashion, 30-27. Oh, my God. It just never gets old, does it? Oh, my God. I mean to tell you, I love watching this football team. I love watching this football team more than any other team in any other sport in the history of my life. And I will never take this for granted because it's, I mean, you know, 17 games a year, there's probably, I don't know, maybe 5 games that are just somewhat ho-hum. Not really, but it's maybe 5 average games, and it feels like at least a dozen times we come on the show on Monday or the following day, just like, oh my God, I can't believe what I just saw. We are watching, and look, Hank Stram is a legend, will always be a legend. Len Dawson is a legend, will always be a legend. Tony Gonzalez put up great numbers, and he will always be a legend until you talk to him. But let me tell you something. We're watching the greatest head coach, the greatest quarterback, and the greatest tight end in Kansas City Chiefs history. And there's something to be said for that. Just that alone. I know we can get the Hall of Fame and GOATs of all, you know, greatest of all time, whatever. First of all, in this long-storied franchise, we're watching the greatest head coach, the greatest quarterback, and the greatest tight end all operating at peak power right now. And so just remember that. Embrace it. Love it. And Andy Reid kind of had some comments about this that almost, you know what, I'm so stupid. I was so emotional. Almost made me tear up just hearing him talk about that. About how he's just going to enjoy every minute because, you know, they're getting older and players get old. And there's going to be a day when we watch the Chiefs and Travis Kelce is a retired Hall of Famer or retired, soon to be Hall of Famer. And there will be a day at some point, hopefully a long time from now, that Patrick Mahomes has hung up his cleats as the greatest of all time. And it's just, savor every moment. Enjoy every one of these fabulous performances because, especially for people my age or older or even Nate's age, Marco's too young, so he's spoiled. He's a spoiled, rotten brat when it comes to the Chiefs. Man, just think about all the bad stuff we went through to get to this. And even after that, sometimes you never get there. Sometimes this is not the end of the rainbow. You know, this is unbelievable. And at the end of the, you know, I think, you know, Andy Reid will end up being a top five coach when it's all said and done. And maybe he is now, I don't know, but that, I think that's where he could be headed. That's debatable. But I think we're also watching, I think when it's all said and done, the greatest quarterback of all time. And I'm not telling you he's going to have the most Super Bowl championships, but the most talented, the greatest quarterback of all time. And thank you for people out there for finally jumping on the bandwagon. I was arguing about this with Jeff Chedia 3 years ago, or maybe more. I don't know, maybe 3 years ago. Travis Kelce is the greatest tight end in Chiefs history, and when it's all said and done, he'll be known as the greatest tight end in the NFL. And some people don't like to hear that. We'll get used to it, because he ain't going anywhere anytime soon. And so it's unbelievable. It's wonderful. And last night, again, even if you're not a Chiefs fan or a Chargers fan and you just tune in to Sunday Night Football, say, hey, I want to watch a good game. Oh, it's the Chiefs and Chargers. That's usually a barn burner. Let me watch this on Sunday Night Football. Were you not entertained? Did you not love that? Even if you're just a football fan, a fan of the sport, a fan of competition, that was a fantastic game last night and a wild fourth quarter. And you saw greatness. And look, that's one of the reasons why this series is so, well, the biggest reason why this series is so much fun is because the Chiefs usually win the game. But the Chargers step up to the plate, and they swing for the fences against the Chiefs. And Justin Herbert many times plays his best football against the Chiefs. And look, to have a great heavyweight fight, to have a great slugfest, you got to have two champs landing punches. And that's what we saw, even though the Chargers aren't a champ. They played like a champ last night, but they played like a contender, landing big shots. And at one point they had the Chiefs on the ropes, but everyone, everybody, especially Chargers fans, you know what you were thinking after they scored a touchdown. You know, okay, how much time is left? 1:46, and the Chiefs have two timeouts up? Oh, no. That's too much time. The only question was, did the Chiefs score too fast and leave the Chargers enough time to drive down and kick a game-winning field goal? Because I'll be honest with you, I thought that's what was going to happen. The way last night was going, I mean, that's not crazy. They got the ball with 31 seconds left, and they just needed to. And if I heard Dicker the kicker one more time, I was going to vomit out of my window. Although I love that nickname, and when he's not playing the Chiefs, I'll say it a lot, Dicker the Kicker, right? That's fun to say.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't like to say that? But not when he keeps making kicks against the Chiefs. I don't want to hear it. You know, Chris Collinsworth was enamored with him. He liked to say, he said that 15 times last night. Oh, Dicker the Kicker, we took a picture with him at practice. That's great. Okay? But I thought we were going to see Dicker the Kicker kick a game-tying field goal, and we'd head to overtime. But the Chiefs defense made a play, and what the hell? That scared the hell out of me. And won the game. And something else from last night, besides being a fantastic football game and besides being a showcase again for the greatness of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, that was a game of redemption, a game within a game of redemption last night. Because think about Isaiah Pacheco making a mind-numbing mistake on special teams. Stop me if you've heard that before, by the way.
Hmm.
Dave Tobe, where are you? Hello, Dave Tobe. Come in. Are you there? And it cost the Chiefs it cost the Chiefs field position. It was a terrible, terrible play. But the rookie did not bury his head. The rookie did not allow that mistake to affect his performance, and he ran the ball like a boss. 15 carries for 107 yards, averaged 7.1 yards per carry. He looked terrific. He looked fantastic last night running the football. All right? He redeemed himself. Nick Bolton made two mistakes. One was bigger than the other one. He had that face mask when he was trying to tackle Austin Eckler as he went in the end zone, and that cost the Chiefs field position. And then, of course, he had the play on a third and two. It would have been a fourth and two, where the Chiefs got a stop. I mean, I don't know if the Chargers would have went for it, but they got a stop on third down, and he put his hands on the quarterback because the quarterback was going out of bounds. And just the gentlest of pushes, but you can't do it. Cannot do it. And I wasn't interested in going on Twitter and arguing, they shouldn't have thrown that flag. That wasn't, you know, come on now. What are we going to do here? Just put flags on the quarterback now. No, you can't do it. You know that. Everyone knows that. It's the optics of it. You put your hands on him, a light push, he goes flying. That's an easy flag. Bad mistake from Nick Bolton. And boy, I hope Nate Buchady didn't break his ankles and thumbs running to the phone to criticize Nick Bolton. Have you had that on save, by the way? You couldn't wait to push that button, could you? I was going to drive out to Overland Park and have a word with you, Nate Buchady. You just couldn't. You know, you couldn't. This kid does nothing but good things all year long, and then you just couldn't wait to pile on the Mizzou grad.
I feel like I've been pretty eager to point out how many times how good he's played, how well he's played this year.
It's painful for you as you bite your.
Well, that's not true. I noticed that he announced what high school he went to, not what college he went to. I thought that was awesome on the lineups.
He's done that before. he did that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. I like that about him.
And so Travis Kelce does the same thing.
I like that about Kelce too.
Yeah,
dirty Cincinnati Bearcats. I don't want him talking about them.
Right. Which player announced that they were from Kansas?
Have to be a player in the NFL.
Oh, that's
to
right.
Do that.
That's right. Anyway, he redeemed himself twice. He forced that fumble against Keenan Allen, and you did tweet that he redeemed himself. However painful that was for you, you did it.
I think I was quicker to tweet that than I was the criticism. Come on, man.
I better tweet this. Kelly, give me my phone.
I believe I tweeted that one with an exclamation point to show how excited I was about it.
Give me my phone, Kelly.
Guess I got to give him his credit.
Okay. You're like snuff love. Okay, bird.
Kelly actually told me I had to. I don't want to give him any credit.
You tweeted, Kelly.
Give me that phone, Nate.
And then, of course, right place, right time. But how many times have we seen a defender drop what would be a game-winning or game-clinching interception, and he didn't do it? And he caught the ball.
That was a nice play.
That was tipped by a defender. Was it Bush? Yeah, that's right. So he redeemed himself. Now, one guy that did not get a chance to redeem himself was Jerick McKinnon after that fumble. Because that was awful. That could have, because the Chiefs, man, they were on one. They were ready to drive that football into the end zone and get a 10-point lead and put that game away in impressive fashion.
And maybe win some of us some money in the process, by the way.
Oh, really?
No, it was 5.5 is what I had.
Oh, man. Well.
Anyway.
At least the Chiefs won.
That's right.
But Jerick, that was a that could have been, that could have lost the game. It could have lost the game. But it didn't. And I'm quite sure that maybe it's going to happen the next game against the Rams. But McKinnon will redeem himself. But two players that made – and all, you know who else I'll add to this story of redemption last night? Sky Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, a couple of special teams errors early in the season clearly – got in his head. His confidence has been shaken. Chris Collinsworth mentioned that because someone told him that. Chris Collinsworth in the game didn't pull that out of his rear. He said, you know, maybe us. You know, he had a couple of special teams errors, and, you know, that might have just, you know, rattled his confidence a little bit. He was told that. Because it's true, because we've talked about that. But when Chiefs wide receivers were dropping like flies, this was supposed to be the Kadarius Toney game, and boy, you could hear fantasy football owners that invested in Kadarius Toney and with their free agent budget or claimed him on waivers, and he didn't do anything. And then, by the way, Kadarius Toney has been ruled out with a hamstring. I didn't even know when he got hurt. Then you're thinking, who are the wide receivers now? Okay, Justin Watson, Sky Moore, MVS, who does not look healthy right now. Oh boy, what's happening? And Sky Moore came up big. Now, the numbers aren't eye-popping, 5 catches for 63 yards, but he had some important catches in some big-time situations, and that was huge. He came through last night, and so he redeemed himself, and that was great to see. And so you give him credit, because when they needed him, he stepped up and came through. And were they was Pacheco, was Bolton, was Sky Moore, were those guys the stars of the game? No. Stars of the game were Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. But the Chiefs may not have won the game without Isaiah Pacheco and Sky Moore and Nick Bolton. And they all redeemed themselves in that game and helped the Chiefs essentially put the AFC West to bed again with a 30-27 victory over the Chargers. And so we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll hear from Nate. We'll hear from Marco. We'll hear some post-game sound. I love it. I'm happy. You're happy. I threw an air punch last night that aggravated my back. I knew that was going to happen because if the Chiefs score a touchdown here, I'm going to react. And I did. And my wife told me to just sit down and shut up because she's the one that has to take care of me. And so I quickly sat back down. And I said, ow. But I said, I love the Chiefs. And she said, I do too. And Selena was jumping up and down. It was, like that. Just moments like that, man. Moments like that. That this team provides us in Chiefs Kingdom. I love them. You love them. We all love them. We love each other. Go Chiefs. Victory Monday. Back at this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Marco Marquez. And on the video picks, and I want to play this when Lebo is in studio because he chastised me for this. For the Border Patrol picks that we post on Twitter. Did you happen to see that, Nate Bucati?
No. I did not.
I said this with Jeff Chedia, and to back it up, I used it as one of our picks. I said the Detroit Lions would just outright beat the New York Giants money line.
Ooh. Hmm? Well, nailed it.
You take advantage of that information, Marco Marquez? Money line bet Detroit Lions or no?
No, I didn't take advantage of that one, but I took advantage of Gary Barnett's over for USC-UCLA. I know that's not NFL, but no, I should have listened to you. You're right. I need to do that more often.
But I feel good about that, and I feel good about the Lions because the Lions just look like flat-out the better team than the Giants. I know the records that indicate that, but they've won three in a row. That's the longest winning streak in the NFC, so let's go.
As someone who bet the over for the win total this year for Detroit, I'll take it.
#OnePride, thank you. Here's some other just unbelievable, wonderful facts from last night. Our man Jeff Kerr from CBSSports.com, who will be on the show later, he tweeted this out about Travis Kelce. He passed Rob Gronkowski for most 100-yard receiving games by a tight end in NFL history with 33, the most 1,000-yard seasons by a tight end ever with 6. He has as many 10-touchdown seasons as Tony Gonzalez had, is 3. We are witnessing greatness. That is correct, Jeff Kerr. That is a wonderful tweet. And how about this one from Adam Schefter? Oh, they mentioned this on the broadcast. This is unbelievable. Patrick Mahomes is now 14-0 in AFC West road games. 14-0 in AFC West road games. I'm old enough to remember when the Chiefs couldn't buy a victory in Denver. I just wanted to win in Denver. I didn't care about nothing else. And Patrick Mahomes wins everywhere on the road in the AFC West. 14-0 in road games versus the AFC West. The second longest win streak by a starting quarterback in road division games since the 1970 merger. Did you see this stat, Nate Bucati? Who's number one?
No, I did not.
Guess, you silly son of a gun.
Who's number one in road victories in the AFC?
No. Just in the NFL, most consecutive road division wins.
I'm going to say it's Mahomes, 14.
I just said it was the second longest streak. Man, will you get soccer off your brain and join me today, please?
I'm here. I'm just trying. You're throwing a lot of numbers at me, man. I can't keep up. I'm not a math guy.
Second longest win streak by a starting quarterback in road division games since 1970.
Since 1970, Tom Brady in the AFC East.
You know what? That would have been my guess. I'm not going to lie. And that would have been incorrect. A Hall of Famer.
Troy Aikman. A
Hall of Famer. Another former Chiefs quarterback.
Joe Montana in the NFC.
That's exactly right. Now you've done it. Joe Montana had a 20-game road divisional win streak from 84 to 93.
That's amazing.
Nailed it. But that's, yeah, that's
it only took
amazing,
me three though. Tries and a serious hint.
that's still amazing.
It is.
You see that and you laugh. Like, oh, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Nate Bucati, let's get your thoughts and Marco's thoughts, your reaction after watching Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce lead the Chiefs to a 30-27 dramatic victory on Sunday Night Football.
Well, it's a couple things. Number one, watching the Chiefs and Chargers is kind of like watching a James Bond movie. you know how it's going to turn out, and you know that the hero is going to pull something off at the end to win the thing.
Who has sex with a villain's girlfriend?
Well, that's not a part of it that I really want to get into today. You know, the villain gets James Bond into a some sort of incredible, unescapable predicament at the end, right? That he decides to overcomplicate for some reason. And then James Bond does his thing, and there's a formula to it. And it just feels like, I mean, as that came happening, some guy tweeted at me yesterday because they showed the graphic of Herbert and Mahomes as, you know, this great comparison, and their numbers are so similar when they play against each other and all that. And I can't remember what Mahomes had, trophies or something, but they had a championship belt, like a boxing or wrestling belt over Herbert's shoulder, and I posed the question.
Mahomes was holding the Lombardi trophy.
That trophy, the real one. And I said, why is he holding a belt? Like, what's he a champion of, you know? And people had a lot of sarcastic comments, and somebody said, well, because he's kicking the Chiefs' ass tonight. And they were up 7 at the time, and I'm like, how many times do you have to watch Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce before you realize you don't spike the football in the second quarter and say the game's over? You know, you don't spike it with 13 seconds left, let alone a minute 48, which is what they had yesterday. And so, like, from that standpoint, it's like it's great entertainment, even though you just feel like you know what's coming. And when it comes to Kelce being the GOAT, I think that something should be pointed out about what happened last night. Because the numbers that you point out are all the mathematical reasons for why he's the greatest, right? He's putting up numbers that back up being the greatest. But you and I have talked about this a lot. Those of us that believe in clutch or believe that there are certain people that rise to the occasion, the bigger the moment, you know, the more they show up, I think that means a lot when it comes to who the best players are in sports. It's not just people can put up numbers. Some people put up great numbers and don't win. You know, well, in yesterday's game, you consider what happened with all these receivers injured, most of Mahomes' primary targets outside of Kelce taken away, and one of the best safeties in the game defending him one-on-one. And early in the game, several times, Mahomes said, you know what? We don't care that it's Derwin James. If anybody has the audacity to cover Travis Kelce one-on-one, we're throwing at Kelce. And Derwin James won a handful of those matchups. I thought there was a little PI on one of them, but they didn't call it, and Kelce didn't complain much. They didn't call it. But he was getting the better of that battle a little bit. And at the end of the day, Kelce still ends up with 115 yards and 3 touchdowns. And when the game's on the line with one of the best safeties in the game on him, and some people might say he's the best safety in the game, Travis Kelce wins and scores a touchdown. You know, like when George Brett homers against the Yankees, he didn't just homer off some guy in the bullpen. He homered off Goose Gossage, you know, like one of the best closers ever at the time. I'm taking him deep. You know, like when Travis Kelce wins on that play, he didn't just win against a backup safety somewhere. I'm beating the best safety possibly in the game right now, and I'm scoring a touchdown. I mean, that to me, like, that should factor into our conversations about him as a player. He's not just a guy that racks up stats and doesn't win anything. We had a tight end like that for the Chiefs, you know, back in the day, and he was a really good player. He was a great player, but and he never got to play with somebody like Mahomes. I get it, but Travis Kelce doesn't just put up numbers. He makes winning plays against the greatest players in the NFL. No one can stop him. There's not a player in the NFL that can stop Travis Kelce. And that's why he's the great. He's the GOAT, in my opinion. And you're right. We just need to make sure we all enjoy it. And those of us that have the perspective of knowing that it's not always like this, we understand, I think, as we watch this, just, man, we are lucky to have this going, like to have these things all come together. Because if Kelce was here with, I mean, if you watched all the noon games, if Travis Kelce was stuck on a team with Zach Wilson at quarterback, you know, or fill in the blank on how many other quarterbacks you see around the league that are not great. You know, if those guys all didn't have Andy Reid, if one of the guys was missing, this thing wouldn't be as special as it is. And it is special, and it's fun to watch right now, and we're lucky to get to see it.
We'll be back into this on WHB.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle humps, ready to race to you. These days are happy days. These days are share them with me. Goodbye, gray skies,
hello blue.
There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. So right.
You can't be wrong.
Rocking and rolling all
night. Everybody dance and sing to Happy Days because the Fonzie loves Patrick Mahomes.
Of course he does.
Arthur Fonzarelli, who had the greatest television romance with Pinky Tuscadero. So the Malachi brothers put her in the hospital in that damn demolition derby. I cried when that happened when I was a little boy, Nate, because I love Pinky Tuscadero.
Right.
And look, that was my favorite when I was a kid. I mean, who didn't love Fonzie? That was right in my wheelhouse. I had T-shirts of the Fonz. I had the leather jacket. I'd walk around and go, hey, and my dad'd say, shut up. I go, hey. And so, I loved Fonzie. I've always loved Fonzie. I stood in line for, I think, about an hour and a half at, I think it would have been the World of Wheels. So, Richie would have been, I looked at the picture last night. I think Richie was probably 10, maybe, and Phil was 4. So around that time, and we stood in line to meet Henry Winkler, who was he authored some children's books, and he was there promoting those. But I was there because I wanted to say, hey! And
shut up, dummy.
And so I'll send you this picture. Have you ever seen that picture? You'll laugh.
I don't know. I don't know if
you'll
I have.
Laugh hard at this one. Let me see. But anyway, I've always loved Fonzie.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I mean, this is such a big part of my youth. And so we're expected to have Henry Winkler on the show. We're hoping at 9 o'clock on Wednesday.
Oh,
so
man.
If that happens, we'll be very happy.
So,
because I had somebody, a very close confidant, that was sitting next to him at the game last night.
Oh.
And then that close confidant showed him the picture that I'm about to send you guys. Check your phones now. Look how happy I was. As Fonzie had his arm around me, and I know I like how Fonzie could never admit he was wrong.
Gosh, look at Richie and Phil. Oh my gosh!
How about that picture?
Oh, they're so young.
Look how even
you
Fonzie
are so happy in that picture.
Right,
I would be too. He looks happy too, though. The Fonz.
Yeah, and the boys know because I'd made the boys watch reruns as a leading up to him. Anyway. It's so cool that Fonzie loves Patrick Mahomes, and he was there last night at the game, and Mahomes presented him with a Henry Winkler jersey before the game, the Mahomes autographed. Play that, and so let's credit, this is Aaron Ladd from, he's KSHB 41 sports anchor, great guy, and he posted this interview with Henry Winkler last night, talking about the experience of coming to the game and loving Mahomes.
What do I think? I think that I just met one of my heroes. I think that he was so genuine. I think that he is exactly the same in life as he lives with the intensity on the field. That's what I think.
I love that man.
So one of my favorite comedies of all time was Arrested Development. And he played attorney Barry Zuckerkorn. And I mean, like, one of the funniest characters. And I know he's not nearly as famous for that. He is being the Fonz, but like one of the funniest sitcom characters I've ever seen. And just like such a departure from the character that the Fonz was too. Like, it's, I love actors that can play like such different types of characters. And he was, if anybody's ever watched Arrested Development, I think you have to love attorney Barry Zuckerkorn. So yeah, Henry Winkler is like, he's just amazing. And obviously he's got an eye for talent. He recognizes what Patrick Mahomes is.
He's beloved, right?
Yeah.
And so that just makes me happy. It just makes me happy to see that he was so happy, Mahomes was happy. And then hopefully we'll talk to him on Wednesday. And, I mean, anyone like our age that grew up and loved Happy Days so much, it just made us happy. Because, like, you see, like, oh, Fonzie makes me happy. That's all there is to it. And I love listening to the song. I love it all, you know? And so let's, so that was great. So awesome, awesome, awesome. Let's hear another on-field interview. Marco, are we good to go with those? I know you're working quickly to make this stuff happen. Let me hear, can we play the Nate, settle down. We're going to listen to Nick Bolton. Here is Bridget Condon, who works for NFL Network as a on-air host and reporter. She interviewed Chiefs linebacker Nick Bolton after the game last night.
To have the ball back with just over 30 seconds to play, you sealed the deal with a huge interception to give you guys the win. What did you see on that last play?
Oh, man, we were just playing tight coverage, and I was actually just on the running back in the flat, and he threw the ball. I saw Deion and LJ had a hell of a break on the ball. Deion hit off his right shoulder pad. I just happened to be there at the right place, right time, secure the game.
This rivalry, always back and forth, came down to the wire. Before that interception, the Chargers managed to score, and you guys, Patrick Mahomes, yeah, has a chance to take this team down the field with Travis Kelce. What kind of confidence on the sideline as a defense do you have in this offense?
Oh, man, we got utmost confidence in those guys. 87, man. God-given talent, man. And on top of that, 15 as well. And so we know we give them as many opportunities as possible. They can to score. They're going to score for us. Now we just got to do our job and close the game out. We have opportunities too. I kind of feel like we could have closed it out the pre-series before. But again, they went out there and scored, and we had an opportunity to close it out at the end the second time, and we did.
87, they call him the Charger Killer. You get a front row seat on the sideline watching him do his thing, yeah, against this team. What is it about what he's able to do in this rivalry?
Oh, man, yeah, it just starts off early in the week, man. He comes in, he's ready for this one every week. He's kind of pumped up, he's fired up, he gets the guys going, and it's just preparation. Every single day he comes in, every single day, and try to get better. And that's what separates him from everybody else in this league.
And you as a defense were able to sack Herbert 5 times. In the second half, you kept them to just a touchdown. What changed for you guys in that second half, and how was this defense able to put so much pressure on him?
Yeah, man, I started off early in the series. We started tackling better, giving them manageable second and third and longs, and letting our pass rush kind of go to work. And those guys, we rushed 4 guys most of the time in the second half. And we were generating pressure with 4 sacks, I think, in the second half, 3 or 4 in the second half. And so those guys up there, the 8 up front, even on the last play, Frank had pressure along with one of our D tackles, forced him out to the right and threw off the opposite side of the ball, throw across his body, and lead it to interception. So I'm proud of those guys up front, man. That's the reason why we won that game.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Chiefs linebacker Nick Bolton, who helped seal the victory with his interception. We'll be back after this on WHB.
Aw, yeah. Aw, yeah. Feels good. Feels good.
All right, there were some big numbers put up by the defense. Nick Bolton had 14 tackles, an interception, and a forced fumble, and overcame those two penalties, those two mistakes, to have a good game. Willie Gay, 11 tackles, a sack, 2 tackles for a loss. Chris Jones, 5 tackles, 2 sacks, 4 quarterback hits, 3 tackles for loss. He was an absolute beast. Mike Dana had 2 sacks. The team ended up with 5 sacks and put tremendous pressure on Justin Herbert. And again, Chris Jones played like a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. And so Chris Jones was on the field after the game, and they were talking to Chris Jones about Patrick Mahomes and what he thought about how the end of the game was going to play out.
What's going through your mind when your offense hits the field? You know they got just enough time to work with to go down the field. What's running through your mind over there?
They left Pat Mahomes too much time. When I seen a minute and 40 seconds, I'm like, yeah, we're about to score. Yeah. They should have took it down in like 46 seconds, ran the ball a little bit. You know what I mean? But they left a minute and 46. This is like two-minute drill in practice. We do this all the time. So this is nothing. And we had two timeouts. So it was like, okay.
That was my biggest fear. I was screaming at some weird things at the TV, like, please, no pass interference by the Chiefs. If they're going to score, score with enough time for the Chiefs to be able to drive back down and win the game. And I was glad that Andy Reid called a timeout there with his defense on the field to help preserve some time. But, 146 with two timeouts, that's plenty of time for the Chiefs to score. Do we have time to play the Mahomes and Kelce together on the field? Okay, here is Melissa Stark with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce on the field after the game.
Patrick, you come over to Travis in the first quarter, fist bump him and say, you and me, baby.
Yeah, I mean, it was a play where Travis probably would, he won it back. He kind of tripped up, probably would have had a touchdown. But that's the thing, I said, hey, you know I'm coming right back to you. And when he's a special player. He leads his team. He leads those receivers. And we came back to him. We won the game.
And I'm sure you love hearing that, right? You and me, baby?
Oh, listen, it's a long game, all right? What happens in the first quarter definitely isn't going to stop me for the rest of the game. And I know that's a great defense. Derwin James, one of the best, if not the best safety in the league. So he's going to get me a few times, but I was lucky enough to get him on that last play.
Isn't it great to listen to these interviews after the game?
Lucky enough to get them.
Studs. So, how good was Chris Jones last
year, too? Yeah, I meant to say that earlier when you were talking about how we're so lucky to have the best coach, the best tight end, best quarterback. Chris Jones, probably not quite in that category, but he's not that far off. He's a special player. He's a special player. And I mean, what's he on pace for sack wise now? I mean, my gosh, he just, and when you said about those other three guys at the peak of their careers, there's no way Chris Jones has had a better year than this, is there?
I think he's having his best year right now.
I mean, he's just, and they were double teaming, triple teaming him all day yesterday. And he still had two sacks. His career high is 15 and a half, and he's got 9 through 10 games this year. That's not the only way to measure what kind of a year somebody's having, but there was that play. Remember, he chased down Eckler and tackled him on a pass out to the flat where you just go, a guy that big isn't supposed to run that far that fast. He's just he's a special player.
Back after this on WHB.